Hey guys, I'm excited to be with you today. We are starting a brand new series called By the Book, and it's going to be a fun ride. It's going to be challenging, but we're going to, as Justin says, we're going to get up in your grill a little bit, but I think it's also going to be really encouraging. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the history of the Word of God, the validity of it, and practical ways to study the Bible. But today we're going to talk about kind of our relationship with this Word of God, and you know, talk about why we struggle maybe to read it, and reasons within the Bible of why we should. So that's kind of the direction that we're going to go today. And when I was first thinking about this message, a movie that I just love and I watch every year came to mind right away, and it's a story of this dad from the Chicago area who does his best to provide a great holiday vacation for his family. And his name is Clark W. Griswold. And if you know the story, he goes through painstaking efforts to set up these lights, Christmas lights for his house, like on his roof, on the corners, on the door sills, on the windows, everywhere. And he works so hard to get this beautiful setup all done, and calls his family out, and when he goes to plug in the extension cords, nothing happens. And you know, if you've seen the movie, you know that he spends a whole next day troubleshooting, and I think he checks every single bulb and tons of work, tries it again, it's not working, and by accident his wife realizes that he didn't have the power on. He didn't have the switch turned on in his garage to light up the whole thing. And I thought of that right away because, you know, kind of in a similar fashion along with this series, you know, we as Christians kind of do the same thing with this power source. You know, we go to church, we're involved in a lot of activities, we go to studies and small groups, we listen to messages, we do a lot of things, but a lot of times what is missing is our time spent with this Word of God. And why is that? You know, why do we as Christians struggle with reading the Word of God? And so I wanted to kind of get into that a little bit. And I wanted to start off with, we have a lot of scriptures that I want to go over today, but I wanted to start with Hebrews 4:12. And it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So I love how that verse starts off. The word of God is alive and active. You know, and if we let that kind of sink in a little bit, and I think, yeah, I can think of situations in my life where the Word of God proved to be true as far as alive and active. You know, I remember back in Bible college, I had an assignment to read the Bible. That was one of the assignments for one of my classes, had to read the whole thing. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't read all of it because it was an assignment. You know, I struggled with that. But I remember the very first time in my life, in my Christian life, that the Word of God just ever jumped out at me was during that assignment. You know, I was in Acts chapter 20, and Paul is talking about how he regards his life as nothing if he can just finish the race, you know, complete that task that God has given him. And it just blew me away that somebody called of God would have that kind of perspective on their life. And that stuck with me, and it sticks with me still this day. And so, you know, we know that the Bible is the number one bestseller. It's very, you know, paramount to our faith, but yet there's a lot of reasons why the Word of God is not read. And I want to talk about those. There's a lot of reasons, but, you know, just looking in my own experience, my own life, and also, you know, doing some research on it, I want to talk about some of those reasons. So maybe some of these will resonate with you. You know, first of all, for me, I've never been a book reader. I don't enjoy reading books. There's been a few exceptions, but I don't know what it is. I have never been a book reader. It just doesn't, I don't know why. You know, I'll watch the movie, but I don't like to read the book. And so, you know, through my Christian life, I think I use that as an excuse a lot. I don't know why I did. That doesn't make sense. But I didn't read it, you know. And so some of these reasons that I'm going to give most definitely apply to me. And so first of all, I think one of the biggest reasons why we don't read the Word of God is we say we just don't have time. We just don't have time. And I think you would probably agree with me that time is a very valuable commodity today, isn't it? You know, we have a lot of things going on, you know, and everything that's happening in our culture today certainly adds complexity to that. And so, you know, whether it's because of a lot of media options that we have, a lot of activities that we can be involved in, a lot of responsibilities that we sign up for, I think time is a very precious commodity. But that said, we make time for the things that are important to us, don't we? I mean, I can carve out a half an hour to an hour to do, you know, to do a hobby, you know, or spend time with a friend who wants to meet for lunch. You know, I can make that happen. And so, you know, getting up half an hour early to read the Bible doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right? And so I think what we have to do is kind of, you know, reconcile our priorities, if you will. You know, think about your day-to-day and how you're spending time. And, you know, is the Word of God enough of a priority where we can carve out some time? And, you know, to be honest, and you'll hear me say it probably a few times today, you know, to get started, to establish that reading of the Word of God, to try to develop a hunger for it, you know, right away it takes work. You know, it's a bit of a grind, you know, if you will. And so carving out time is a huge first step and making that commitment and saying, you know, I'm going to make time for the God of the universe because His Word is alive and active, right? And it's going to speak to me. You know, another reason why a lot of Christians struggle with reading the Word is they'll say, you know, the Bible is just way too confusing. It's way too confusing. It's 66 books. There's so many names, so many stories. There's so many translations. There's so many perspectives. Sometimes it seems like the Bible contradicts itself. You know, some books are very boring. You know, they'll throw in like Chronicles or Lamentations, you know, and things like that. And they'll say it's just way too confusing. And so I suppose maybe out of apathy, kind of get to a place where it's just too much. I don't know where to start, so I'm not going to, right? If that makes sense. And so, you know, think of when you started a new job. You know, as a lot of you remember, I started a new job last year. And to this day, you know, so many things are new to me. You know, so many things I'm being introduced to, new names, new processes. You know, just everything seems new, and it will be for a while. You know, and what about you? You know, when you started a job, weren't there a lot of things that were new? Like right away, day one, wasn't everything new or most of it? You know, and so how did you overcome that? How did I overcome that? Well, it's through training, right? Through doing the job and through mentoring, you know, and being mentored by people and being partnered with people that could help me along that way. You know, and in the same way, we can take those that exact same approach with the Word of God when we say, you know what, I know it can be confusing, but I'm going to become a student of it. You know, I'm going to not only read the Word, I'm going to get into a study Bible, read some commentary, right? Read some Bible studies in the Bible app. You know, talk to others, more mature Christians or people who've kind of walked down that path ahead of me and can give me perspective, people who I can ask questions to. You know, watching sermons on YouTube of pastors and things like that. So there's tons of resources to help us get over that hump of it being so confusing. And another reason why I think we struggle reading the Word of God is we'll say, you know, I just don't get anything out of it. Now, this one's a tough one to admit, right? Because if you're in Bible studies or Bible reading plans, if you're doing a year through the Bible, things like that, you know, if you're diligent enough to have time set aside to read the Word every single day, you've got a schedule, right? And I think the temptation, and it's me as well, is I want to get through it. You know, I try to balance. I want to pay attention to what I'm reading, but a lot of times, you know, I'm moving through it so quickly that I'm not really retaining it. And that certainly doesn't help with getting anything out of it. You know, if I'm reading day after day in my Bible studies and I'm not getting anything out of it, at least for me, that's my fault. And so some things that we can do to help overcome that is to just slow down. Take our time with it. Don't think about checking that box so much, but focus on meditating on what you're reading. And so when I'm, you know, when I'm thinking of that and doing it, it'll take me, you know, maybe a half an hour to go through one book of Proverbs, for example, like we're in today, you know, at this time. And so it'll, you know, it'll fascinate me how I can pick up so much more if I just really take my time about it. And I'll click on the links for the references, and I'll try to connect some dots, and I'll think about, you know, what's taking place there. And so I would encourage you to, you know, if you feel like you're kind of in a rut, you're in that rhythm of kind of blasting through it too fast, slow down. It's okay. Think about what you're reading and meditate on it. And I think that'll help get us away from that. It's just too confusing. I don't get it. And so therefore, I'm not going to, right? And then another one here really quick is, and I am so guilty of this, you know, is I forget. And not so much nowadays, but for so many times in my walk, you know, I would kind of sit up in my chair, so to speak, and say, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. I know it's alive. I know it can change my life. I'm going to do it, you know, and I'd even pray, like, God, help me to remember, you know, but I would still forget. And so it's not okay to, right? But there's practical things that we can do to help us not forget, right? Setting up alarms and reminders. When you sign up for a study in the Bible app, it'll give you the option, do you want us to remind you? You know, and so that'll help. So there's certainly easy ways to set up that habit through reminders to help us not to forget. Because if we push it off, we'll just never get to it. And every once in a while, like I said earlier, I really like to do my devotional time in the morning. But every once in a while, you know, I'll turn on my computer and get it loaded, and I'll see something that I need to respond to, and that's enough. My day starts, and off I go. And before I know it, the whole day is over, and I never got to my devotions. And so I need to set the priority, make sure that I'm dedicating that time, you know, to reading His Word. And so, you know, through these and so many other reasons why we don't read the Bible from time to time, we've got to know that the enemy is behind it, right? If Satan can keep us busy, if he can keep us apathetic or confused or forgetful, he's going to do it. Anything that our enemy can do to keep us out of the Word of God, he's going to do. And so I challenge you to look at it with that perspective, right? That, you know, and I mentioned this in an earlier message months ago, that if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy, right? And so this certainly applies to spending time with the Lord in His Word. And so look at it from that perspective. You know, do I have a really good relationship with reading the Word of God, and it's really an important part of my walk? And if not, where might Satan be getting some victory here, you know, through busyness, or just thinking that it's optional or not important, you know, or thinking, you know, I get a good amount of the Word of God through listening to a message, you know, or reading the verse of the day. And that is definitely better than nothing. But time spent, right, with the Word of God, giving God an opportunity to speak to you through His Word, takes time, takes dedication, takes devotion, takes a perspective of, I want to learn, I want to hear from you, God, instead of, I just need to get through this, right? Because our mind and our heart's not in it. And so I would just challenge you to think about, what are some ways that Satan may be winning here that I didn't even really notice? You know, and so 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Boy, Paul saw this coming, didn't he? You know, and I would dare say that this is sadly kind of the nature, the human nature of the Christ follower, right? That, you know, we no longer listen to the Word of God, but we'll listen to things that make more sense to us or that make us feel more comfortable, right? And so, you know, keep that in mind, like I said, of where the enemy might be. And so what I'd like to do is transition to reasons why. Why should we read this Bible? Why should we spend time in God's Word? And not that it should be a surprise, but I am going to use God's Word to answer those questions. And so let's get to it. So first of all, the number one reason, really I could just stop talking after this scripture. The number one reason for why we should read the Bible is it's God-breathed. It is actually the Word of God. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 captures that perfectly. It says, all scripture is inspired by God, or other translations will say God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Amen. That is just so powerful. It teaches us, it corrects us, it prepares us, it equips us. Talk about a power source, right? That's what the Word of God is. It's God's Word to us. It's his instruction to us. It's his correction to us. You know, it's preparing us and equipping us to do life as followers of Christ. The answers are all in the Word. And so it's God's Word. Number one reason why we should read the Word of God. Number two, this Word has answers. It has answers. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. And I'm sure many of you can think of examples of you went to the Word of God for direction and it gave it to you. You know, certainly for me, when I was when I look for peace, you know, understanding of why things are happening the way they are, when I'm looking for comfort, when I'm looking for examples of how God responded to his people in the Word when they failed him. You know, the list goes on and on and on, but the Bible has answers, right? The verse we just read before this says it, you know, it teaches us, so it's got answers. And so when you're struggling, when you need encouragement, when you're confused, when you need those answers, knowing that you can go to the Word of God is huge. And finding those answers, and when they come out and speak to you like the Word of God can, that's amazing. And you know what? That helps us to want to keep coming back to the Word of God, because we lived it out. We saw proof that it is alive, that it is active. So another reason why we should read the Word of God is it helps us to not sin. It helps us to not sin. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I remember many, many years ago, a man of God that I really respect, he held up his Bible and he this one's sealed, but he opened it up and there was a few pages in the middle. He just grabbed it and held those two, and he kind of waved them a little bit and he said, if this is all the Word of God that you know to filter your life through, to look for instruction for, to help you to not sin, to look for answers. If it's just this little bit that you're spending in the Word of God, you're going to struggle compared to when you learn more and you access more of the Word of God. And he kept grabbing more and more chunks of pages of the Bible until he held it all. You know, the more that you spend in the Word of God, the more that it can teach you, the more that you can pass everything that happens in life through, you know, and reconcile it against God's Word, and it'll make more sense to you. So it helps us to not sin. Next, the Bible gives us hope and encouragement. Amen? Hope and encouragement. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now, there's plenty of scriptures that I'm sure we could stick in here, right, on how the Word of God gives us hope and encouragement. And so, you know, we've got scriptures that are taped in different places throughout our home. I remember my mom did that too. She had scriptures on the bathroom mirror, you know, and keeping the Word of God front and center, those encouraging scriptures, you know, finding those passages that give you encouragement for where you are and having them at an arm's length where you can always refer to them is huge. It's just another way that the Word of God can be alive and active to you and apply to your day-to-day life. So it gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. And then lastly, the Word of God, it shows us God's character and it reveals God's will to us. You know, so many times throughout my walk, I hear people say, I just want to know what God's will is. I just want to know what He wants for me. You know, and it took me a while to realize that the majority of God's will is revealed already in His Word. It really is. From the Old Testament all the way to the end of the New, the whole thing, the more time that you spend in the Word of God, the more you understand His character, His wrath, but His forgiveness, His compassion, but His discipline, His love, you know, but His anger. You know, you can see the whole gamut of His personality all through the Word of God, from His relationship with the Israelites to His disciples as Jesus, you know, and so it's just so amazing to see the character of God be revealed, and also His will for our lives, the responsibility that we have on this planet, His call for us, His instruction to us all the way through as far as how we're supposed to respond to the world, how we're supposed to respond to others, you know, how we're supposed to fight temptation. The list goes on and on and on. And so God's character, His will for our lives, His design for us is all right here in His Word because it's alive and it's active. And so I want to kind of transition into some challenges for you guys. And some of these are going to be tough, but please know that I'm right there with you. I am not perfect. You know, this is a process, but we have to challenge each other, right? We have to try to find ways where there's opportunities in us to grow. And so as it relates to the Word of God, I want to give you some challenges to get started on this week. And so, but kind of before getting into that, one of the biggest excuses why people don't read the Word of God that I didn't share already before at the beginning of the message is, I don't want to. And I think a lot of people wouldn't say that. You know, followers of Christ wouldn't say, well, I don't want to read the Bible. But if you think about it, I think that is the reason for a lot of us. I just don't want to. I'm going to choose other things first. I don't want to. And so, you know, like, again, for me, I underestimated the power of the Word of God. That's why I fell into that category of I don't want to. I just underestimated the power. I saw it as a book, history, lessons, sure, but not alive and active, not life-changing and transformative like it is. And so if this is you, just know that you're missing out on, quite frankly, the way that your soul connects to the Spirit of the living God that's in you, right? His Word, the Word of God, is that connection. It's that power source, that extension cord that Clark had in his hand, you know, that connects your soul with the Spirit of the living God that's in you. It's His Word. We're missing out on that connection if we're not spending time in it. And so, three challenges I want to give you guys today. First of all, if you're not happy with where you are in your relationship with reading the Word of God, if you're not happy, wherever you are on that spectrum, if you're starting to realize I've got some growth to do, then my first challenge to you is talk to God about it. And not, hey God, it's me, help me to want to read the Bible, amen. Not that. I want it to be more of, I just need to have more time with His Word, you know, and so God, help me understand that. Help me to understand why I'm not spending time in it. You know, why am I not there? You know, why is my heart not where it needs to be, God? Reveal that to me. Is it sin? Is it, you know, is it kind of a an attitude that I have? Am I indifferent about it? Show that to me, God. Reveal that reason why I really just don't want to read your word, why it's not important to me. I want it to be, but it's not. You know what I mean? So talk to God about it. Have a conversation with him and ask him to reveal that to you. And number two, commit to work on it. And so if some of the things I already mentioned, set up a reminder every single day when works best for you. Decide to get up 30 minutes early. You know, decide where you want to start reading if you're not already in a plan. You know, do some research. Find a Bible study for a topic that's interesting to you, something that you want to grow in your own walk. Or pick a Bible, or pick a book of the Bible, rather, you know, and a translation, all those things. Make those decisions, commit to do it, and say, you know what, I know it's going to be work right away, but I'm going to make that first step. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start, all right? And then number three, don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And so study together, study with your spouse, study with your kids, do family devotions, you know, get involved with some friends. If you're not a part of group life here at True North, get involved with it. Join the men's group, join the women's group, the couples, the young families, you know, get involved with others. And share with them, you know, in this study, when you're talking about it, share with them where you are in your relationship with reading the Word of God and your perspective of its importance to your life, you know, and create some accountability and do some studies together. Tell you what, when you're doing a Bible study with other people, they can see the little check mark of when you've done it and where you're staying with them. It really helps. It really does. And like I said earlier, it may seem like work. It may seem even mechanical a little bit, if you will, that you're doing this and kind of establishing that day to day, but God's promise is his word is alive and active, and you'll see his word start to speak to you. He'll start to reveal himself to you. You'll start to develop a wonder and excitement, you know, about what you're reading. And before long, you won't need reminders. You'll miss it when you don't have that time in the word. And so talk to God about it, commit to make that change and to start working on it, and then don't do it alone. Join arms with other brothers and sisters in Christ, and you can do it. And then lastly, like I said at the very beginning, join us for this series. I'm telling you what, Justin's got some great content coming to you. He's going to be talking about the history of the Word of God, the evidence for its validity, and then lastly, practical ways that you can study the Word of God. So we want to help you with that. We want to help you understand the importance of this, the history of it, how valid it is in our day-to-day lives, and just practical ways to study it. And so we're going to help you along this. Please commit to join us over these next 3 weeks, and we are going to learn together to love and to live by the book. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time and patience with me and listening to my Clark W. Griswold story. But think of it, if nothing else, think about this as a power source that you need to be plugged into.